The theme for this year, the 72nd year our church has conducted these noonday services, the theme this year is the second coming of Christ, the return of our Lord from heaven. On Monday, the glory of the premillennial faith. On Tuesday, why I became a premillennialist. Yesterday, the signs of his coming. Out of many in the Bible, we chose 9, the signs of his coming. Today, the time on God's clock. And tomorrow, on Friday, Jesus, Christ, the King of forever. Today, the time on God's clock. And I hope, I pray, that you will listen with your mind as well as with your heart. It is not quite the usual sermon that is presented. The Revelation closes in the 22nd chapter of the Apocalypse. In verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every one according as his work shall be." And verse 20, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely, surely, I come quickly. Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus." 3 times in this climactic and closing chapter of the Apocalypse does the living, resurrected Lord announce, "I come, taku, taku." It is an adverb. If it is an adverb of when, of time, then thus shall we look at it. If it is an adverb of manner, how, then we shall look at it. First, if it is an adverb of time, when, behold, I come quickly. It seems he has delayed his coming. In the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, in the story, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, the 10 virgins, it says, "Behold, the bridegroom tarrieth." In the 6th chapter of this Apocalypse, the souls under the altar. In the 5th seal, cry saying, "O Lord, how long? How long?" The reason for the writing of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians was this. The Lord had delayed his coming. And these beloved members of the family had died and were buried. And they sent word to the apostle saying, "And what of these? He hasn't come. And they have died." That's why the reading, the writing of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. The reason we are bound up and fettered in that question of the delay of the coming of our Lord is because we are creatures of time, bound in it, imprisoned in it, cannot escape it. I was amazed at the prayer of Eugene Green. You would have thought I had coached him in the intercession he offered before God. The whole creation is bound up, imprisoned in time. The animal kingdom, they mate, they hibernate, they shed their fur, they put on a new fur according to seasons and times. The entire vegetable kingdom is bound up in time. There is a time and a season when they bud, when they fruit, when they shed their leaves. And we also are likewise imprisoned and bound up and fettered in time. There's a time when we're young like these academy children. There are times when we're adolescent. There are times when we're mature. And there is a time when we die. But to God, there is no time. He is timeless. He is above time. Time is a creation of God, just as our material universe. The 90th Psalm, the prayer of Moses, says, 1,000 years in thy sight is but as a watch in the night. In the 3rd chapter of 2 Peter, the apostle writes, for 1,000 years is but a day. You know what I sometimes think? 2,000 years now, our Lord has been gone. He's been gone 2 days. Maybe he will return on the 3rd, tomorrow. Time has no meaning before a timeless God. He looks at all time. He looks at all history in the present. It's all before him, the beginning and the ending. I one time on a Labor Day, I sat in the Soldiers Stadium in Chicago and watched an enormously long parade come in. If you've been there, you know the stadium is a horseshoe and one end of it is open. And I sat there. Alfalfa Bill Murray of Oklahoma was then running for president. And the labor unions were for him, and they staged that enormous parade in behalf of his candidacy. Being an Oklahoman, I was there and watching the parade come in. Marching one band, one group, one union after another. Finally, wearying of the watching, I climbed to the top of the stadium. And there in that high prominence, I looked up Michigan Avenue, the great main street of Chicago. And standing in that eminence, I could see the entire parade way up Michigan Avenue as it moved down and down and down and through the horseshoe opening in Soldiers Stadium. I could see the whole thing moving together. God is exactly like that in human history. He sees all time and all story from the beginning to the ending. Here I am born. Here I die. Here you were born. Here you die. And God sees all of it in the present. Time, in deference and in reference to different creatures, means different things. Here is a mile before, and think of what it is to a snail. A mile to a snail. Think of what it is to a stag, to a reindeer. Think of what a mile is to a diesel locomotive. Think of what it is to a jet. Think of what it is 186,000 miles a second. Think what it is to the light. And think what it is to the ether wave. Time has relevance so different to different creatures. So it is in an amazing thing, if you'll think. Time with reference to our position. Our position in history. Our position in the universe. The great galaxy Andromeda is 1 billion light years away. Andromeda. I stand at the nighttime and look, and what I see happened 1 billion years ago. It took that long for the light to bring the providence to me. If I'm halfway there, that same incident, that same providence has happened 1.5 billion years ago, 500 million years ago. If I am 3/4 there, the same incident has happened 250 million years ago. And if I am there at Andromeda, that same incident that to me happened 1 billion years ago happened just the moment before. Time. So relative. And so in our experience, if I am marvelously happy, caught up, say in a beautiful evening, the time passes. But if I'm agonizingly sick, hurting, oh God, when shall the morning come? And when the morning comes, oh Lord, when shall the evening come? Time is so relative. It has no meaning. Thus, with the coming of our Lord, He will surely come. And the time on God's clock has no meaning, neither to Him nor to us. It's just that He comes. In the second chapter of Daniel, there is the head of gold and the kingdom. There are the arms and breast of silver in the kingdom. And there are the thighs of brass in the kingdom. And there are the legs of gold. There are legs of iron in the kingdom. And there are the feet made of iron and of clay. And in those days, there is a stone cut without hands that strikes the image on the feet of clay and iron. And the kingdom has come. Blessed is that soul that can see in temporality the eternal, in the transitory the timeless, in the autumn the spring, in death, life, in the grave, resurrection, and in this present world, the new creation, the new world that is yet to come. Taku, an adverb of time, when. One other, and we must hasten. If it is an adverb of manner, how. Behold, I come, taku. If it is an adverb of manner, then it refers to the how of His coming. I come quickly. I come swiftly. Immediately. There is no time between the cry of the midnight hour, the bridegroom cometh, and His presence. The Bible uses so many figures, similes to represent that. Quickly, taku, swiftly, like an eagle sweeping out of the sky to the prey. Like the lightning, livid, splits the bosom of the sky. Like the rising of the floodwaters, as it was in the day of Noah. Like the judgment of God upon Sodom, as in the days of Lot. So the coming of our Lord in this 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. There was no time when the announcement was made that the bridegroom cometh. There was no time to prepare. These who had their lamps lighted and ready to greet the groom. These who had no oil in their lamps, darkened, were left behind. Oh God, when He comes, all of those prophecies and all of these things that are written in God's Word will happen quickly. They'll happen swiftly. The 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Think of how quickly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What is true watchfulness? He closes that parable. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. What is true watchfulness? Is it that in anxious tension I am waiting? Is it in fervent and feverish anxiety that I watch and peer into the darkness of the night? Is that the true watchfulness? Not at all. It says here in the 5th verse that all 10 of those bridesmaids, all of them slumbered and slept. What is true watchfulness? Sweet people, verily, verily, it is a set of the soul. It's a readiness. Wherever I am, whatever task to which I've given heart and hand, I'm ready. Any day, any time, any hour. And in the meantime, busy in the work of our Lord. In my bedroom on the right, there on the wall is a beautiful painting, a 19th century English figure painting by an Academy artist. There's a cottage by the sea, the infinite expanse of the water beyond. There's a door open from the cottage toward the sea. There is a mother there and two darling children. There is a ship that has come in, and up from the ship is the fisherman with his nets and his gear. And he has come home. And the children are there like this, eagerly loving and waiting and welcoming their fisherman father and the wife with inexpressible joy. What is watching? Watch therefore. You know not the day, the hour. What is true watchfulness? Is it that the mother sits there day after day, peering in anxious tension and concern over the expanse of the water? Or is it she's busy about the house? She's busy with the children. And she is waiting in love and readiness for the fisherman, her husband, when he comes from the depths and the expanse of the sea. That's true watchfulness. I am ready. May I take time to speak of that in one other simile? The reason it's so deeply impressed upon my heart for the first several years of my pastoral life, I lived with cotton farmers. I was single, and I literally lived with those dear, wonderful, saintly people. Raising cotton. And listen to the hymn. There's a king and captain high who'll be coming by and by, and he'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. You will hear his legions charging in the thunders of the sky, and he'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. When he comes, when he comes, all the dead shall rise in answer to his drums, while the fires of his encampment star the firmament on high, and the heavens are rolled asunder when he comes. There's a man they thrust aside who was tortured till he died, and he'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. He was hated and rejected. He was scourged and crucified, and he'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. When he comes, when he comes, he'll be ringed with saints and angels when he comes. They'll be shouting out hosannas to the man that men denied, and I'll kneel among my cotton when he comes. When he comes. When he comes. Could we change that last expectant word? When he comes, when he comes. He'll find me at my task when he comes. When he comes, when he comes, he'll find me mending the door. He'll find me minding the store when he comes. He'll find me teaching school when he comes. He'll find me preaching the gospel when he comes. We're ready. And that is our true watchfulness at our tasks, at our assignments. Ready, Lord, any day, any time. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. May we stand together. Dr. George Davis, the dean of our undergraduate school, will lead us in our benediction. Dr. George Davis.